And Father, we give to you all a sacrifice of praise. All glory and honor are due unto you. We exalt the name above all names, Jesus, who has paid the price for us. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've offended you. You said, seek the Lord with all of your heart, and you will find me. I pray, Father, today that everyone that's here will seek you with all they have. Not halfway, not quarter way, not when they feel like it, but when opportunity brings it. That they will seek you daily with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their will, all of their strength. Jesus, wash us with your blood. Purge us with your presence today. Fill us with your Spirit as we welcome the Holy Spirit. So we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we've done dead works, works of the flesh, selfish ambitions. We've come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. Lord, have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. And guide us to your throne. Teach us your ways. Establish our steps as we commit to you all of our cares, our works, and our ways. And we promise to give Jesus all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want you to go to someone and give them a hug and thank them for fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Fighting. Yes. Good morning, warriors. Warriors of the Most High God. Eternal soldiers. Everyone say, I'm a freedom fighter. Sent from heaven above. See, you were born in the natural realm, then God birthed you again from the spirit, so that now you're a freedom fighter. We are freedom fighters, and you know, the Bible tells us that we don't fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. So in this arena, we must maintain a fight. Because if you're not in a battle, you become a casualty. And there is a fight going on. And it's continuous. It started in the heavenlies. It says war broke out in the heavenlies. And Satan and a third of his angels were cast down into the earth realm, into this atmosphere. So guess who rules the earth? Satan. Hello. So he's the ruler of the earth. That's why there is an arena of fight between the secular realm and the kingdom of God, because the secular realm is a society without the reverence of God Almighty. So there is a fight, and there's a fight that you and I must maintain. And many times we don't realize that in this fight that we're in, the fight, the battlefield, unfortunately, is the mind. It's where? The mind. And one of the things of our responsibility is to maintain that our mind stays free from worldliness. It stays free. Now, I want you to understand something. I want everybody to repeat after me. I have been commissioned to free the minds that have been taken captive by Satan's kingdom. That is my commission from this day forward in Jesus' name. Because I am a freedom fighter to free the minds that have been taken prison by Satan's kingdom. Amen? Praise God. And that's what it's about. We are freedom fighters, but our commission is to free the minds that have been taken captive. And it is important that we understand this. First thing is, we must maintain our mind to maintain freedom. Because see, the devil wants to bring your mind back into captivity. And if he can get you back into captivity, then you become his servant and not even know it. See, there are people who say they're believers because they say they love Jesus, but their minds have been taken captive by the enemy. Now they become a servant of darkness and don't even know it. The Bible even says that Satan's ministers come as righteous ministers. How? Because they've been taken captive. Grab your swords, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians 10. Freeing the mind. Oh, glory. Now, you can't try and free somebody else's mind if your mind's not free. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Start at verse 3, please. Would you read it with me? For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we walk in a natural realm, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, we're not warring according to the things that we see. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they are mighty in God for what? Pulling down what? Strongholds. Strongholds are memory lies. They are lies that have been imparted in you. Anything that you've come in agreement with, associated with lies or deception, is called a stronghold. In other words, the enemy has access to you. So everybody got it? You know, when you go fishing, you put bait on a hook. That's what the devil does. So, except for his line is a telephone line. So when you bite the bait, he's got direct access to you. He's got internet to you. Hello. So we want to sever all of this satanic internet stuff, right? So that means he can control you. He can send images to you. He can send messages to you, text messages. Hello. All kinds of things he can send to you to get you off course or to bring your mind back into captivity. Hello? Good. So a stronghold is a memory lie. Verse 5. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Thought. Every thought. Not one or two or when you feel like it. Every thought into what? Captivity to the obedience of Christ or to the obedience of the anointing or the truth. And being ready to what? Punish all disobedience. Now this is the kicker. When your what? Obedience is fulfilled. When your what? Obedience is fulfilled. Let me share with you one of the blessings of obedience is free mind. But first of all, you must be obedient. Obedience is fulfilled. First, there is discipline. We've talked about discipline, didn't we? Discipline is a pathway. It has nothing to do with how you feel. God gives you something to do, you do it. He gives you something to read, you read it. He gives you something to pray, you pray it. Until when? Until the arena of change comes. Does everybody got it? Man, I've been saying it's the same prayers and deliverance and so forth, and certain confessions every morning for 16 years. Why? Because I do preventive maintenance. I believe in first strike. Too many people fight after they've been hit. No, man. I go after him first. Why give him the opportunity to go after me? Because you know he's going to come after you sometime during the day, don't you? So grab him, tie him up, and bury him. Bind him, blind him, mute them, and deaf them so they can't get to you. You get to them first. That's called wisdom. So the first thing that we must maintain is discipline. Now the fruit of discipline is obedience. Discipline is first. The fruit of discipline is obedience. Now are you ready? The fruit of obedience is authority. Without obedience, there is no authority. And the fruit of authority is dominion. And the fruit of dominion is victory. Yes. You want to know what the fruit of victory is? Freedom. You want to repeat that? Discipline is how it starts. Now, discipline leads to a relationship and a love affair. Discipline. The fruit of discipline is obedience. The fruit of obedience is authority. The fruit of authority is dominion. The fruit of dominion is victory. And the fruit of victory is freedom. You know, the worst thing that we can have is a torment. That's worse than sickness. In fact, sickness can become torment also, can't it? But you can overcome that, because there's times when I'm getting sick, and I know I'm sick. I hate sick. I cast it out, apply the blood, claim stripes of Jesus to be healed. But while I'm fighting, I don't have to be in torment. I can be at peace. So we see here that a mind that is free from torment, fear, doubt, confusion, worldliness of the flesh, pride, will release them from an arena of survival mode. Because the world is in survival mode. What they have, they always want more. Has everybody got it? There's always more. See, you and I must be in a place where we want more of God's presence. We want more of God's presence, because when you have His presence, you have everything. And then everything comes as you're in God's presence. So again, I want you to understand that one of the greatest things of our responsibility is to maintain a free mind. A mind that is free from worldliness, slavery, and captivity of deception. See, that's why Satan's greatest weapon is deception, because he deceives us to bring our mind back into captivity in bondage. You know, people who have addiction problems are tormented continuously because their mind is bound. I was watching this thing last night. It was disgusting. This girl that was been on, she was a heroin addict for 20 years or something, and so she's going to the psychiatrist or whatever they are. Just a demon with a label. And so they put her on methadone. Of course, methadone is harder to kick than heroin. Now she's been on methadone for another gazillion years. And they call it victory. They call it freedom. They call it recovery. Yes, she's off of heroin. She's on methadone, praise God. That is not freedom. Because the girl is sitting there shaking, wondering about, oh my God, they're going to reduce my... They're going to reduce the amount that I'm going to take now, because they're going to start lowering the dosage. And she's sitting there shaking like crazy because of fear, because the torment is in the mind. You know, I'm screaming at the TV going, cast the devil out of her! It's a demon! It's called a dragon spirit. That's why they used to say in the old days, follow the dragon, because it's actually associated with heroin. And if you see some of the dope that comes in that's stamped, usually most of the heroin dope that's stamped, it's got the dragon symbol or label on it, because it's called chasing the dragon. But anyways, in this, their mind is in captivity. Addiction is a captivity of the mind. It is a spirit that must be fed. Same thing with pornography and everything else. People that fornicate and so forth, they open their minds to bondage. Why? Because they bite the bait, don't they? And then a satanic telephone wire gets hooked to them. And now they're always having these images, jealousy, rage, all of these areas where the devil brings that individual into captivity. But I'm telling you, it's not God's responsibility to free them. It's ours. Does everybody understand that? So what we're supposed to do is bring them to a place where God can free them. Hello? See, so what happens is what our responsibility to do is to get out there and share. Did anybody ever tell you you're brainwashed? Yeah. Praise God. You ought to say, amen, my brain's been washed. It's been washed by the blood. It's been washed by the word. I am free. Hello? But it's our responsibility to get an individual to a place where God can free them. Does everybody understand that? So in this, we cooperate with God, don't we? Because we are co-laborers. We are co-laborers with the Lord. So let me ask you this. How about your conduct out there? Now, remember we talked about leaving a legacy. What you're doing out there is either going to free a mind or assist in freeing a mind. We're going to bring a mind and feed it more in bondage. So if you're claiming to be a believer and you say you love Jesus, but you're still fornicating, you're still going to the bar, you're still going to this, that isn't going to help somebody else, is it? But what's going to help someone is that when you come out of the world, That's why he says, come out from among them and be separate. Now, I've shared before many times that I've had counsel with individuals that had told me about their Christian girlfriends and so forth, but I'm telling you about these Christian men that say they're Christians but manipulate and deceive just to get a woman in bed. Now, that brings that woman's mind in bondage because now Christianity has been compromised. And by compromising Christ, that both of them are in bondage. Now, I want you to understand something. If they produce an offspring, that child is born in bondage. And that child will always fight in the area of rejection and abandonment and fear. That's why children who are born out of wedlock have a bastard curse. And that curse must be broke. See, the devil's purpose is to constantly keep a mind in bondage. And that what happens is that individual is fed by worldliness. And it's the only thing to that individual that is looking for freedom through worldliness. So they begin to become successful. Some of them become successful business individuals because they are so focused in the area of becoming successful to bring fulfillment of accomplishment that they lose sight about Christ freeing them. But then after that, as they become successful and they become wealthy, now their fear is losing what they've maintained or what they've gained. They fear of losing their materialism. They fear of losing their money. They fear of losing their bank accounts and so forth. Look at how many people, I mean, you haven't even heard half of how many people have committed suicide when Wall Street began to collapse. Many people lost much, much money in that arena. And then look at how many people have been burned by billions of dollars. Can you imagine $65 billion this one guy operated in to burn many, many people? $65 billion, and nobody saw it? Or else they turned their back because they were so caught up in success and because of greed. It blinded them from truth. Is everybody okay? Let's go a little further. So you first, the only way to be free of the mindset in captivity, first of all, you must be disciplined. As you become disciplined, the fruit will become obedient. As you are obedient, authority will be given to you. As authority is granted to you, you have dominion. As dominion is granted, then victory brings freedom. Freedom. It is the greatest thing. That's why Jesus paid the price for me and you, that we could be free. And the place that we want to be free is from torment of the mind and the deception of Satan and his cohorts. Go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5. Let's read this together. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are what? Deceitful. Deceitful. In other words, the thoughts of the wicked are deceitful because they are fed deception. And the righteous are fed truth because they eat of the tree of life. The wicked don't even know that they're wicked. They think that they're good because they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they don't know what righteousness is. So that's why many people say, well, I'm good, I'm going to heaven. But they give no glory to God. They may be good, but they're not righteous. And the Lord said that your righteousness must supersede the scribes and Pharisees. And that can only be done by the presence of Christ in us. Turn to John 8. John chapter 8. In verse 31. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will be glad in it. That means you got a choice. And because you have a choice, you have a choice to submit. You have a choice to reject. You have a choice who you're going to serve. But everything that you and I do, will be accounted when we stand before him one day. And you know, that's an amazing thing, that nobody will escape the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody. In verse 31, let's read it. Then Jesus said to those Jews who what? They believed him. Isn't this great? He said to the Jews that believed him, what did he say? If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples, indeed. Whoa! If you what? If you abide in my word, you're my disciple. You know how many believers don't even read the Bible? And they say they're believers? But they'll sit there and argue with you all day long. I remember one day I was working out at the gym. This woman came up to me and asked me a question. And I began to share with her the question. And I share with her the answer. And as I began to share with her the answer, I said, don't you read the Bible? No. I said, well, I thought you were a Christian. She says, I am. I said, well, then why don't you read the Bible? Well, I just don't believe it. I said, you don't believe the Bible and you call yourself a Christian? Man, my mistake. Boy, that girl picked up a 10-pound weight. No. But she was flippant, man. I'm telling you what. She was off the chain. I thought, yo. And so my final words was, is this how a Christian acts? And then I left. I wasn't stupid, you know. But, you know, I realized more and more, because there are so many believers that say that they're believers but don't even read the Bible. So how are you going to know what the contract is? How do you know what the promises of God are? Well, I'm hoping. What are you hoping in? You know what they hope in? Secularism. They hope that they're believing the truth, but they don't even know it. And their mind is still caught up in slavery and worldliness. Worldliness. Let's go a little further. In verse 32, what does it say? You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. Why? He says, if you abide in my word. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free? And Jesus answered them, and he said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Ooh. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus answered and said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. Now, he's telling the Pharisees and Sadducees this, man. These are the people that were supposed to be studiers of the Torah. They were the Sanhedrin. They were supposed to be the righteous ones. And Jesus rebuked them and said, you are a father. Your father is the devil. Now that's powerful, because see, they had a form of religiosity, didn't they? They had a form of religion but not relationship. You know, Saul was in the same predicament, wasn't he? Saul, who became Paul. Saul was a Pharisee. And his family were Pharisees. And so he thought he was actually doing the work of God by killing Christians. Until the Lord slammed him. Knocked him off his horse. One of the things Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." And Saul said, "Okay, I got that. What do you want me to do?" Repent. So Saul was blinded for 3 days. And he was blinded for 3 days, so he had an opportunity to repent. Amen. He fasted also. You don't think his mind was going a little goofy? Oh my God, what have I been doing? Look at all the people I've killed in the name of the law. I realized I was wrong. Lord, have mercy upon me. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord. And then the Lord sent a man named Ananias to go see him. And when Ananias came to see him, he laid his hands on him. He didn't choke him. He laid his hands on him so Paul could get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and so that the scales could come off of his eyes and so he could come out of religiosity and be free and so that his mind could be free so that he could have the mind of the Spirit of Christ from that day forward. And Saul became Paul. Amen. And served him all of his days and wrote most of the New Testament because he knew how to get in the Spirit. And he came out of religiosity. His mind was free from the slavery of religion. It was a false belief. It was a belief on selfish works. Oh, to God be the glory. I believe today is an important day that we get this. Because we are called to free the minds of those who have been taken. See, truth brings freedom. In relationship or fellowship in the Spirit of Christ. His words are truth. They are light. We must practice the truth to maintain a free mind. A free mind. So that we'll be known as sons of God instead of sons of the devil. Many don't believe the Bible is true because of brainwashing of the media, environment, traditions of men. Not too many families have a reunion and talk about eternal life or death. When they get together, they usually party and drink and so forth. I never was at a family reunion when I was in the world that we talked about what's going to happen when you die. The only thing that everybody talked about was their success, their problems, hello, and their hopes or their dreams, but they were just false delusions. Not many of them talked about what happens when you die. But praise God, we do that now. When I'm invited anyways. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now the word gospel means message of truth. Well, you know, when people say gospel to the world, the devil has people believing that it's just a message of religion. But it's actually a message of truth. In verse 3, would you read it with me? It says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Who's the God of this age? Satan. Who has their minds are blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who is shown in our hearts to give the light of the kingdom of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See, many people believe that their power is their intellect. So they go out in colleges and gain much, much knowledge. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that, because God wants to raise up Christian attorneys. He wants to raise up Christian lawyers. He wants and professors and judges and doctors and so forth. He wants to raise up believers. Why? Because he wants people to infiltrate from the body of Christ into the kingdom of darkness, but carry truth with them. In other words, even knowledge of worldliness will not supersede the truth that they know in the Spirit. Never. Because, see, they keep God first. Let's go a little further. I want to read verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What does it say? We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So Satan's kingdom is blinding the mind of truth and keeps many individuals in slavery, forcing humans to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm blinding them from the tree of life. I'm telling you, our commission is great. For much is given, much is required. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3, and verse 14. 3:14. Is everybody there? Didn't have far to go. Read it with me. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, in the what? Anointing. That's the same anointing. It is the Spirit of Christ that Saul was baptized in the Spirit. He accepted Jesus, and then he was baptized, and when he was baptized, the scales came off. Has everybody got it? Truth is what sets you free. Truth will bring freedom, won't it? And the anointing will break the yoke of bondage, which also brings freedom. And he says right here, here's the anointing. He says in verse 15, "But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Now he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. In other words, there is a mind that is set free from the captivity and slavery of worldliness and the bondage of torment and fear. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Why? Because many people are in survival mode, and it is a fear mode, and it will blind you. Fear will blind you. It will cause torment. That's why many wealthy people are still afraid of losing what they got. See, but those who are free, free in Christ, free by the truth, able to walk in the Spirit, they are free from torment. Because they cast their cares upon the Lord. They don't try to fix them. Oh, God is so good to us. He's so good to us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's why we want the mind of Christ to have prominence in each and every one of us, so that we can be free. Free. Go to Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. Is everybody okay? Are you a freedom fighter? And what are you fighting for? Freedom of what? Of the mind. We want to be mindsetters. Setting in the mind of Christ, and removing the carnal mind. In Genesis 8, verse 21. I guess we can start at 20. Would you read it with me? It says that Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings onto the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the what? Imagination of man's heart is evil from where? His youth. Woo. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Now listen. What's he saying? You and I were born with a wicked mind. Does everybody got it? Our mind was evil. We were born that way. That's why you must be born again. But it's born again by the Spirit of Christ. Because there's many believers who've accepted Jesus as Savior, but never Lord yet. He becomes Lord over your life when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does everybody got it? Because then he says, I will put my Spirit in you and cause you. He will what? Cause you. That's why many believers are still out there who've accepted Jesus as Savior, but walk in bondage. Because he's not Lord. Why? Because the Bible says the Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. Is everybody okay? Glorious. Colossians 2. Freeing of the mind. Colossians chapter 2. Oh, it's good to hear all the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one what? Let nobody cheat you, man, of your reward, taking delight in what? False humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Ooh. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Fleshly mind, they worship self. They worship creation. They worship their works. Their pride. These are satanic angels, not knowing the truth. Living in slavery until awakened by death. Too many people are awakened by death. Does everybody understand that? See, the Bible says it's something very important. You must deny yourself. That's death. That three-letter word is killer, man. It's called die. That's why everything, we must come to the end of ourself in everything. Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. The problem is that many people whose minds are taken in captivity don't awaken until they physically die. And then they realize they've been deceived. See, we want to catch them before they die. Because some of them will be too late. And they'll wake up in a place that we don't want them to. Colossians 1, why we're here. This is where New Age religions and all this other foolishness stuff comes in. They worship creation, they worship trees, and you know, they worship the ground, and they worship false angels, and they call on it. They worship Gabriel. They worship Gabriel. We're not supposed to be worshiping angels. In fact, in the book of Revelation, an angel of the Lord showed up to Brother John, and John got down to worship him, and he said, man, don't worship me. He said, you worship God. I'm a brother just like you. And he was an angel of the Lord. And he rebuked him for trying to worship him. But see, all this New Age stuff and all of the stuff that's out there, self, God, I'm God, and all of this other stuff, it's all foolishness, and the world is taken into it. You can watch all of this, all of these individuals that try to create their own religions and their own beliefs because they have money to sway people. And by swaying people, they bring people into the bondage. And if you go back and research where Islam religion started from, you'll find that that was also the same circumstance. And many other religions. But I'm not going into all that today. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Good. Verse 21. And you who once were what? Alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. We are alienated where? Alien from where? In the mind. In doing what kind of works? Wicked works. Ouch. And in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has what? Reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you what? Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel or the truth, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a what? A minister. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Start at verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may what? Enter in. Verse 3. You will what? Keep him in what? Perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he what? He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground and brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. Now I want you to understand again, he says something about the peace. He said there is peace for those whose minds are set on the Lord. That's why he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways. Did you ever go to somebody and they start saying all these things and did you ever mention to them, well, did you pray? And they give you a dirty look. What do you mean pray? I don't pray. I call my attorney. What do you mean you call your attorney? Yeah, I call my accountant. Wrong. Wrong counsel. First seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Then you call your attorney. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Freeing the minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ so we can be instructed. Has everybody got it? We are instructed by the mind of Christ. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Y'all with me? Are you with him? Good. Romans chapter 1. This is powerful now. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They are what? So that they are what? Without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to what? Vile passions. For even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, why was this brought forth? Because they rejected God. They rejected the truth, and God allowed it to happen. Does everybody understand this? In verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maleness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who what? Practice them. Wow. So this is even, listen, those who even approve of people who are practicing things are deserving of death. See, this is why we're to be separate. We're to come out from among them. And God allowed them to fall into this place because they rejected the truth. This is where homosexualities became manifested. This is where lesbianism became manifested. All of these areas because they rejected the truth of God, and God let them go, knowing that the end result would be death and His wrath. Does everybody understand this? Everybody okay? But God has called us now to free them. Free their what? Their minds. So that we can get them in a position so God can free them. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians 2 and close here. God willing. Philippians chapter 2. Freeing the mind. Man, when I was out in the world, I had Dame Bamage, man. Let me tell you. My mind was so bound up, delusional, all kinds of stuff. I was a dreamer, but I was a dreamer of ungodliness. But when the mind of Christ came and I knew the truth, I didn't realize that there was a freedom. See, some people don't know that there's a freedom until they're free. And they're like, whoa, I'm free. I didn't know it was available to me. You know, they just thought it was about religion. Religion doesn't free you. Religion brings you into bondage. Only Christ brings freedom. The anointing, that's why God brought His presence, brings freedom. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, let's read it. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. He didn't say be a busybody though, okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself and became what? Obedient. What did obedience bring him? Authority. What did authority bring him? Dominion. What did dominion bring him? Victory. What did victory bring him? Freedom! And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What a wonderful example. I got one more scripture. Ecclesiastes 12. The fruit of obedience is authority over the slavery and captivity in the mind. Because the mind at one time had no reverence to God. But now the mind of Christ that we carry has a reverence to God Almighty. That's called the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's right after Proverbs. Is everybody okay? So you know what you got to do? Anybody know what they got to do? Die, brother! You got to die, man! Hallelujah. That still doesn't leave, you know. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the what? The conclusion of the whole matter. Here it is. Are y'all ready? This is it. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's the final call. That's it. So we have a commission to maintain our minds and being free, and to set free the minds that have been taken captive. Amen? That's our job and our commission. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We are honored and blessed. We give You all the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask, Father, that You would quicken us in those areas to sever and disconnect every telephone line that the devil has set up in us, man. Every internet, the satanic internet connection, not only in our minds but in our computers. Hello. That we may walk in freedom, that we may carry the truth and decree freedom into other individuals, that they may know the truth and the truth set them free, and the anointing break the yoke of bondage, that they may have the mind of Christ and be set free from the bondage of religiosity and deceptions of worldliness, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.